saying thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to this week's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is specifically for you, Lobby Lead. We are going to talk lobbying 401 and leading a lobby team meeting. So in this training, we're going to go into detail about the special role that lobby leads play, like you, and make sure that you feel set to go with your meeting and your plan and helping everyone on your team know how to work together to ensure a successful meeting. You might be listening to this call because you know you're leading a team next week for November Lobby Week, or because you realize you might be needed this role in the future, or simply because you want to help deepening your own understanding of how to lobby. However you've shown up tonight, we're glad to have you on this call. And with my own self, I have a wonderful co-presenter tonight, and that is none other than the wonderful John Clark, my friend. John is CCL's regional coordinator for the Appalachian region. John's passion for the environment started when he was a part-time professional nature photographer, where he saw the effects of climate change firsthand. You can ask him more about that in the chat too. John joined CCL over a decade ago and formed the first Pennsylvania CCL chapter in New York. And after several years as a group leader, he took on the role of volunteer regional coordinator. And then in this last year became full-time after working part-time as a CCL staffer as Appalachia's regional coordinator. Our three learning goals, if we've done our job well tonight, are really to one, highlight the importance that you play as lobby meeting leaders. Number two, emphasize the importance of advanced planning while preparing and providing helpful recommendations along the way. And also demonstrating how to navigate and adapt to some of the challenging situations that you might possibly encounter as a leader, so you feel prepared if they did show up in your meetings that are upcoming. And to get us through our agenda, we're focused on uplifting you, talking about advanced planning, how you can also set up your meetings for success. We'll talk some additional considerations and really overall the key detail here, even though we're going over a lot of details, the big picture about leading a lobby team, like everything else we do with CCL, is building relationships. In this case, you're working to create good relationships among members of your team and ultimately between your team and your member of Congress. So even though we're going to get into the nitty-gritty in just a little bit, remember the overall importance lies in building those relationships and connections. And with that, I'll pass it to you, John, to take it from here.
Thanks, Brett, and hi, everyone. So leadership is so essential, and it's missing in our world today. As you know, thoughtful leadership is time-consuming, as it requires self-reflections as well as getting to know your team. Many of us have had to step out of our comfort zone to be a leader, especially complicated by another year of the pandemic and trying to keep up with the zigs and the zags of congressional reconciliation process. So this brings me naturally to a quote by John Wood of Braver Angels that I would like to share with you. And he says, "Our nation faces a test right now. You could say it is a test of our commitment to social justice, constitutional liberty, economic survival. Each of those might be right. But more than anything, we face a test of our ability to hold true to the civic conscience of American life that freedom fighters from the Revolution to Dr. King and beyond died to give life to. That is an America in which we meet injustice and political differences with moral resolve, coupled with goodwill for our neighbors and commitment to the communities that are the cradles of our shared tomorrow." And that is what your leadership, all CCL leadership, is about: a commitment to the communities that are the cradles of our shared tomorrow. First of all, with so much thrown at us every day, from how to navigate the post-vaccination world to thinking about system changes, we hope you're taking care of yourself and finding your voice and being part of the solutions we need. The system that we are trying to change at CCL is connected to the other systems we also need to change. Each of you are stepping into the unknown, learning new technology, taking on the responsibilities of managing your team's scheduling process, reaching out and coordinating all of your teammates online while balancing many different changes. We can't thank you enough for being willing to do just that. Put yourselves on the line to help our lobby meetings go well. We're so incredibly grateful to all of you for your hard work. You truly are essential, and we can't do it without you. Before we jump into tonight's training, we want to make sure to provide a quick review of our advantages as constituent lobbyists as we meet with our members of Congress. A lot of us feel nervous going into a meeting, and that's normal feeling. Remember, our advantage is that we are constituents, not professional lobbyists. So although we want you to be a professional, you don't have to try to be a professional lobbyist. This is as true here as it is for our volunteers in Canada, Australia, or any other country. As one of our admirers in Congress has continually shared with his colleagues, these lobbyists from CCL are seeing us on their own dime. So relax and be yourself. Do whatever helps you get into that empowering, listening place ahead of your meetings. I personally take some deep breaths and focus on gratitude for the team we have. Part of what sets CCL apart in the eyes of the congressional offices is that we are ordinary people who care deeply about humanity. As humans, we should accept there will be mistakes. You'll make mistakes, or your teammates will. There will be things your team will say that could have been said better, and we'll show you how to handle that situation in this training. We are building relationships, so be human and embrace whatever happens. In the short amount of time that you're in an actual meeting, how you facilitate that meeting is important. Let's step back and consider the bigger picture for just a moment. The bigger picture is this: you as meeting leaders are well positioned to nurture and empower others. Make it one of your goals to mentor or nurture the lobby team so they build their capacity for this work. How does a meeting lead help others grow and empower them? The best leaders show faith in those around them, and that's what we're asking you to do. Having faith in others means you know there are going to be some coachable moments. To feel empowered, people need to be put into situations where they can both succeed and fail, and where failure is part of our learning experience. As leaders, your role is to bring out the best in people. And you can do this during planning or practice, during the meeting, and after the meeting. The meeting leader is like a conductor, and the leader is there to manage the meeting, not to dominate the meeting. There will be exceptions, such as when there's a long established relationship and expertise on the topic that has been ongoing between the leader and the office. This means the leader is not necessarily the one who talks the most, but who is in charge of the transition points of the meeting, between speakers, between roles, getting the conversation back on track, wrapping things up, cueing people verbally over online meeting or non-verbally with your video feed or group text or chat, and whenever they're talking too long. If constituents and the liaison are present, the leader also ensures constituents are heard from. It's helpful to look for facial and body cues in face-to-face meetings that are diluted in Zoom meetings. Something to consider for the future: when we are preparing for face-to-face meeting on the Hill, I will ask my team to look to see who the staff or member of Congress appears most interested in hearing from, and that person needs to speak up more than originally planned. The leader should also be able to understand the meeting situation and respond accordingly. The goal of deepening relationships should be at the forefront of your lobby team's mind. Lastly, given the strong relationships we have built over the past decade across Congress, as leaders, we can move forward with confidence that we have the policy acumen, the skill set, and the grassroots support to pass effective legislation such as carbon dividend bills. One final example of the joy of being a leader comes from the empowerment and mentoring of young adults that you will hopefully have the chance to work with in your meeting. An example of this is that you can help younger people feel part of the team is through technology. They can contribute so much in that area and feel great about doing it. CCL recommends including a volunteer in each meeting who will be solely helping your team with managing the technology platform you will use. Now I'm going to go back to Brett for advanced planning.
Thank you, John. Yeah, no, I definitely think that this is a great opportunity, especially at this point. If you haven't found a young adult, I know that there's a whole surge of them that have been joining of late throughout all of our chapters. So please connect with your state or regional coordinator if you're still looking to fill out your team. I'm guessing a lot of you have that roster already set, but a great little shout out there, John. And definitely appreciate the importance of including those that will inherit the future to be a part of the actual meeting that we're having. All right, so let's jump into some other important considerations to keep in mind to help your team with advanced planning. And that's really the time you take now, and I'm guessing you already have, to plan ahead of your lobby meeting. So this is either a review and a checklist to help you think through what you already have been doing, or a series of recommendations if you haven't quite checked all these boxes yet to empower your team during this stage. All right, so a quick reminder just about our lobby training sequence. I'm going to put two links in the chat so far. We've basically gone through the two main trainings that we have ahead of our November lobby training series. And if you're looking for a reminder on where to find those, both of them were given by Dr. Danny Richter, our Vice President of Government Affairs. One of them reviewed our overall legislative strategy and primary asks. The other provided some more up-to-date week later guidance, as well as our supporting asks for this upcoming lobby week. Those are available in the chat. And then also a reminder, if you haven't yet, I'm guessing that this isn't applicable for any of you specifically, but if anyone on your team hasn't yet taken the climate advocate training, that is one thing that we ask all lobby members to attend, whether it's the recorded version or one of the live workshops that we're having this Sunday on the actual conference weekend. So feel free to check those links out in the chat if you want a little review. You can always just search CCL Community for November 2021 lobby training, or go to the short link that I put in the chat to find that out. And those are the ones that we wanted to make sure to highlight all of your team members had seen, so that you can all be on the same page, or the same score, if you will, using the conductor metaphor. All right, so let's talk about what platform to use next. So thinking through things, obviously other prior years, we'd be gathering together at the OmniShorum at this point. Here we are in the boring comfort of our own living rooms, and we're still kind of in that setup. So you now get the freedom and flexibility to choose your favorite online platform or what your member of Congress's preference is. And so the broad majority of our offices have met by Zoom over the last several lobby sequences. I would say that number is probably in the upper 90%. But if for whatever reason your office prefers WebEx or Microsoft Teams or a phone conference platform, you name it, you can accommodate and work with them. And we have a wonderful video conference security best practices training page that I'll put in the chat here right now that really kind of helps walk through a checklist of how you can make sure, regardless of what platform you're using, that is kind of set up in a way that isn't going to have anyone Zoom bomb or interrupt or just even have a hard time getting logged into. We really recommend making sure to actually practice ahead of time on the technology with a specific platform that you're using for your meeting, so people are well-versed in what it looks like and how it is to log in. If you need help coordinating a Zoom line, as John can speak to tonight, our regional coordinators provide a lot of lines, and they'd be more than happy, if you haven't already reached out, to make sure that you've got that information for your team. And again, outside of all of these other setups, Zoom, Teams, Skype Now, Google Meet, WebEx, we've got a great forum also on CCL Community for tech and troubleshooting. So I can put that link in the chat when I pass it back to John. So now that you've decided your platform, let's talk about deciding your team and your team size. The key thing here, as the veterans that are on the line with us can attest to, is that it's important to prioritize who the important voices for your member of Congress are. And that's going to vary across each congressional district and state. But really, when you think about it, you're balancing these two competing priorities, one of which is surfacing trusted messengers that really are going to be landing the most powerfully on the ears of your member of Congress or staffer, who's really going to help open them up to that dialogue. And also on your side, who was there to get involved, right? Sometimes those two aren't a perfect Venn diagram of overlap. But obviously being able to balance both who you have, whether it's a lot of young adults looking to share their story, a community leader that's really passionate about why they're supportive of the policies that we are also asking for, that's a really key balance that we want to think through and early prioritize. I'm guessing at this point, many people have already filled up their rosters, but just thinking ahead even to that next series of lobby meetings that you're thinking through, how can you continue to bring in new voices, diverse voices, voices that haven't been uplifted or heard before, so that that member of Congress in office continue to see the well-represented diversity in the district that your chapter is helping really bring voice to in these meetings. All right, so with that, a quick little reminder about assembling your team this time through. Once you've confirmed the platform and who's going to be on your team, some of the additional considerations for November lobby training, or for the week actually of this year, reminder that as opposed to when we do this in person in DC. CCL headquarters will not be sending out schedules or creating teams this year. It's entirely up to the local chapters to really coordinate with their liaison and group leader. So check out, and if you haven't yet, make sure to let your group leader know about your plan so that everyone's on the same page. For lobby leads that are on tonight or listening in later, please do make sure that you're checking in with your group leader or your state or regional coordinator so that everyone is aware of kind of what your plans are and you can coordinate ahead of time. Obviously, for lobby leads, CCL isn't providing the schedules, but they do still have an appointment setting log to really help coordinate and know who is getting what progress and when. And that really informs overall kind of our field report data and action tracker to really highlight how many meetings we're planning on having and what time and where they're scheduled. So do make sure to highlight that with your team as well. And if you haven't, if you're not a liaison or if you haven't been a part of Amy Bennett's calls, I'm more than happy to put her information in the chat as well. This training is also what we put in the chat earlier here for that preparing for lobby day short link. All right, so let's think through. I've just got a couple other slides and then we'll go to back to John and then we'll go to Q&A. What do you want to send in advance? One of the big findings that we continue to hear from organizations like the Congressional Management Foundation that study how to really effectively communicate with Congress is that you don't want to just show up without an agenda ahead of time. And you actually, the more that you can let them know what to anticipate the meeting will be about, the content of your agenda, the more likely that that meeting will already be kind of entered into in a space where the office is really prepared to have a deeper conversation. So for a reminder, this lobby meeting series, we're asking people to send ahead of time a simple, you know, two things, maybe three if you want. The first of which is that primary supporting ask. So here's a link to that leave behind for Democrat and Republican offices. It's different. We also, I'm guessing many of you have encountered this. You've already communicated, recommend that you provide a list of the constituents that are attending. With that, you can communicate a brief agenda. You know, we're talking about X, Y, and Z, you name it. And then lastly, if you also want to give a little preview, CCL with our monthly automated reports provides, you know, evidence of support in the district, whether it's through the recent media published, the recent endorsements that people have gotten signed. You're more than welcome to bring either of those ahead of time or with you on your online meeting, but you're more than welcome to just include that in your advance email as well. So that's a little reminder of what to send in advance. And then lastly, what I'd like to highlight here is given that we're online right now, there's really a couple of advantages that we have that we can really take full advantage of if we're aware of. One of which is you actually don't have to rely on kicking each other under the table. If you have something to communicate, you can set up ahead of time a little group text that will help you cue and be able to feed into each other like, oh, and now Ginny, I'd love for you to introduce this or have that kind of handoff in a way that's really smooth, that minimizes that disruption between the flow. We do want to make sure that anyone that's attending knows a couple of key things for recommendations. When they join, we want to make sure that even though we're not in DC, we still look business casual and professional. We want to make sure that people aren't joining with their dog or their cat running around in the background. Preferably, you can have a really expensive, rich bookshelf like this, which is entirely real. On my end, right? Look at this. I'm going to pull a book out of the bookshelf. You can create a virtual background if you want. But either way, just make sure that your background and what you're presenting is as professional looking as possible. You want to make sure that your camera is positioned well. I saw a couple of people even adjusting their camera right now. No up the nose shots, you know, no only forehead shots. Practice looking right at the camera because that's how you can connect. And have, you know, not any backlighting, but instead lighting that's behind your actual screen facing your face to really help spotlight that the most with your camera positioning. And then we do recommend also that you can change your name on whatever platform you're at that shows your not only full name, but where you're from so that you can really identify your constituency. Don't have your, you know, your sign-in name be Terry's iPad or 1658 XYZ, you know, like change it and update it so that people can feel that connection on the screen. And especially during your actual practice meeting, make sure everyone's got a good audio and video connection and that you have a lieutenant deputized in case you lose internet connection to pick up the pace, you know, and continue the meeting actually during the day of. So that's all important for online considerations. For tonight, given that it's very unlikely that any of you are going to encounter that, I won't go over how to handle conference calls if it's only phone, unless we get to that in Q&A, but just know there's a couple of other recommendations that we provide for that.
Thanks, Brett. So we've reviewed how to get your team planning process going. Now let's review some ideas for connecting and coordinating with your team. Once your team is firmed up, introduce yourself via email and call. We're all getting more and more emails these days, and a personal one-on-one phone call can help you as lead connect and get to know each of your team members a bit more while also helping them feel welcome and more comfortable with what to expect. Ask which roles they prefer to fill. If they are new to CCL, then it might be a good time to review and explain the importance of each role. Especially if you do not know a volunteer who will be joining your team, spending a few minutes getting to know them can also help you determine what role they might fill, and it develops a trust in each other. Send out an email introducing your team members. Ask them to choose from a list of dates for a planning meeting or several meetings between now and your lobby date to get them up and running. In your email to the team, you can also include any relevant links you think will help them. What about the format for those meetings? You can use CCL's meeting template plan as a guide to solicit, discuss, and prioritize everyone's ideas for the lobby meeting. Key items to discuss include the appreciation, the primary goal, the ask, the supporting ask if you feel you need one, and open-ended questions for discussion. You can also find additional planning guidance on the Planning Your Lobby Meeting training page. So let's review that on the next slide. What are you as meeting leads doing to prepare for your planning sessions? So if you go ahead and put that into your chat and Brett will summarize for us. But while Brett works on summarizing the chat, here are some suggestions for the ideal situation. We realize that many of us might be scrambling to get ready, so any contact ahead of time is a good thing. Always try to read through the last year or two of full meeting notes to get a sense of where things stand with this office, what's been tried before, and where we left things stand the last meeting. If there's a meeting plan submitted by the liaison, then review the meeting plan with everyone. Discuss the meeting's plan strategy or create one. And for November, Danny suggested emailing the main primary or supporting ask lead behind ahead of time. If you'd like more information on these, checking out the making primary and supporting asks training Brett put into that chat. Review the concept of open-ended questions and supporting ask and when you would use it. We also use supporting ask to build additional support to work together with our office outside of our primary ask. If not already specified in the meeting plan, then help the team settle on a supporting ask. As lead, you'll want to facilitate the transitions verbally or with body language cues. Or in the case of virtual meetings, it might be handy to have a text by phone. A verbal cue could sound something like this. Leela would like to tell you why we're here today and what we're asking for. During the planning meeting, let the team know how you plan to cue them. Or if you practice well enough, your team may not need cues at all. Just do what feels right for the situation. Another thing to consider is that there are sample meeting outlines on CCL Community. If you have time to review them with your team, then go for it. And finally, during the planning meeting, you will want to assign roles. We discuss the roles in great detail in Planning Your Lobby Meeting training. Brett, what do you have for us?
I know that I have this great little list of all of the meeting roles, but I know for many of us, you're very familiar with that already. So let's talk about actually expressing that leadership. We've talked about how to plan it. We've talked about really what to bring into your meetings. But let's actually discuss leadership considerations before, during, and after your lobby meeting the day of, right? So we've talked about everything ahead of that. Two times to break the rule, and that is really realizing that we have adaptations and that as you as lead, you need to read the room and be flexible. But you also want to make sure that you are reading that room and finding out who is and who isn't involved, like John's reviewed. So let's talk quickly about the pre-meeting huddle. I'll review this one and then I'll pass it, to John in just a little bit here. But many groups find having an online pre-meeting huddle ahead of your actual meeting that day of with Congress to be key. You can, as the meeting lead, set up your own separate meeting space, whether it's, you know, a different Zoom meeting ID or a group call on Google, you name it. You can kind of tune in 20 minutes ahead of time and communicate a final review. Often kind of what we would do when we were in DC, would we meet outside in the hallway. And you can think of this as really that same kind of huddle space where you as the lead get everyone to focus, relax, feel a little less anxious heading in, be present, have that fun spirit as well, infuse that dialogue, review everyone's roles, make sure everyone confirms or reassigns as necessary, reestablish the goals for the meeting. You know, again, just walking through one last time, your final checklist, like pilots do before they take off for flight, so that you're on track and ready to roll when the actual meeting shows up. And then you do want to remember for people to join the other meeting a minute or two early, because at CCL, we like to be on time. All right, I'll pass it to you, John, for the next slide.
So one way to verbally signal a transition is to state it explicitly. An example of that might sound like something like this. Congresswoman, I wanted to thank you for your recent efforts to protect your constituents from identity theft. That's a really important issue to us as well. Today, we're here to talk about another important topic. So Brett is going to let you know more about why we're here today and what we're seeking. In this example, I explicitly transitioned to Brett.
Perfect. Let's talk a few other transitions. Maybe this is your fourth, your 10th, your 30th meeting, you name it. And at this point, you already know, you know, and have reviewed the purpose and are ready to dive into a deep conversation. Here's that might what one of these threads might sound like if you're with a Republican member of Congress that we've established a good relationship with. Congressman, I want to thank you for your support for the infrastructure package that just passed. While this plan makes climate-oriented investments, we know that now is the time to take even bigger, bolder actions towards reducing our emissions and remaining competitive abroad. We know that one of the ways that we can do that is by putting a price on carbon. It's the single most powerful lever to reduce our emissions. And you can rest assured that we're going to continue our work to make sure that it's included in whatever climate legislation advances in this year. What are your thoughts on how we can continue to work in your together with your office in the meantime? So you can see you can go right from your appreciation there and acknowledging the introduction or the support for a specific policy package to a direct ask to move that dialogue forward with the office.
Each meeting is different, so proceed in a way that feels comfortable and appropriate for your situation. Being present and being a good listener are essential in determining which parts of the plans need to be scrapped. Here's an example demonstrating on how you might transition from the discussion to the end of the meeting close. Congresswoman, I see that we are nearing the end of our time with you today, so we wanted to recap and clarify the main takeaways we have about the next steps we plan to take with your office following today's excellent meeting.
Building on what John has shared, obviously with each meeting being different, getting a couple of these in your back pocket to help stay on track as a lead is always critical so that you're not having to think on your feet. You've already got this rehearsed. If a meeting veers back off, you know, the rails, you know, we do have another wonderful training. It's Lobbying 301, actually, that's all about different scenarios that you might encounter that are challenging. If you do want to kind of practice, there's a great interactive training where you can role play even a couple of those scenarios in live time. So check that out. And I'll put a link to that in the chat in a bit. But in this example, you can see here, I'll basically play the member of Congress who goes off topic. And then John's going to help reel me back in here. So here I am embodying my congressional role. Well, John, the real ongoing challenge we face is healthcare in this country right now. We need deep-seated policy change. All of the ways that our country is facing healthcare systems, they're broken, from access to astronomical costs to limited coverage. You name it. That's my main focus and obviously what I'm working on right now.
And so this is my response as a CCL volunteer. Thank you, Congressman, for raising your essential concern about reforms to healthcare. We hear you, and as an organization, we don't take a position on health policy. We do take a position on the positive health outcomes that will stem from our country placing a pollution fee on greenhouse gas emissions. This approach isn't just good for our climate, it will also improve the health of everyday Americans and prevent premature deaths by reducing pollutions that Americans breathe. We know poor air quality alone leads to an estimated 114,000 American deaths each year and sickens thousands more. Would it be helpful for your office to connect you with a public health or healthcare professional from our district who's up on the front lines addressing these negative health impacts?
Sure would. Thanks, John.
So as a meeting leader, you will do a lot of advanced planning and preparation, and that's really important. But we can't let our plans and preparation go on autopilot. We practice ahead of time, but you'll never know what scenarios will play out. That's why we always need to be focused on what is being said in the moment, and as a team, be ready to help each other respond to what we're actually hearing, not what we expect or what we think we heard. As the meeting leader, you should recognize when it might be appropriate to diverge from your plan. We refer to this as situational awareness. It's the ability to perceive and understand what is happening in the moment and being able to react to challenges as they happen. Good situational awareness means you're not only listening to the words being said, but also the tone of voice and body language too. One of the benefits of having a team is that if you don't pick up on a particular cue from your member of Congress or staffer, one of your fellow lobbyists might. It's important for your team to trust each other to speak up when they see something. All team members should be empowered to ask a follow-up question or redirect a derailed conversation.
Absolutely. Just like good leadership, right? Modeling, asking others to call in and notice if they're seeing anything that isn't being heard, I think is absolutely critical. As team leads, our goal is obviously grounded in empowering others to thrive in their roles, whatever they may have signed up for with your lobby team as a good conductor. And one of the ways that you can do that is by taking note of who's not being heard, especially if one of your team members tends to be too vocal, right? So especially in that practice meeting, take note if there seems to be an emerging power dynamic that you may want to really track or be aware of, or even have a follow-up conversation on so that people are balanced with their sharing. We love emphasizing this. Lobbying is a team sport. It takes all of us to have a successful meeting. And so it's our role as leads to make sure that all voices are present and that they have that chance to be part of the meeting. Another situation, obviously, we're talking about signals and cues to be prepared for with a silent constituent is when somebody really isn't speaking up. And especially if they are from the district and their voice is really critical to being heard, you want to make sure to have a way to encourage them to speak with a verbal cue, however you want to rehearse that. But for example, it might sound something like this. John, I'd like to just pause for a moment. We've had a great conversation, and I want to welcome in to see if there's anything else that you'd like to add at this point. However, you want to make that a natural way to cue and bring in other people's whose voices haven't also been included yet. And I'll pass it back to you, John, to think through a couple of some of these other situations where we can empower others.
With all these transition examples, we encourage you to try practicing that loud with your team to help them feel natural and something that your other teammates can know how to use in the heat of the moment as well. What if someone on the team says something that's flat out wrong? Rather than correcting them, try saying something like this. If I may, let me add to what John was saying. Your team will appreciate you for not correcting them or pointing out what they forgot. What could you do if a CCL volunteer gets agitated or angry during a meeting? This is not common, but it's happened. Be prepared for it. Stay calm. Here's how it could play out.
It's you guys in Congress who are stalling and bickering and making things worse and just not absolutely addressing any of this. Why can't you get your act together?
All right, I'll be the leader. Congressman, obviously, we're very passionate people, and we're working very hard to try to get something done on time. You were just saying that you think driving innovation should be the front and center of any renewable energy agenda. Could we share with you more about what we've learned regarding how this growing global trend toward accountability for carbon emissions actually creates an opportunity for America to capitalize on its competitive advantage? The size of your teams will vary from meeting to meeting and the format you're going to use. If there are just two or three volunteers in a meeting, then each person will need to fill one or more roles. If the meeting is via phone, you will probably not want more than two to three people. If your team ends up being a larger group, it might mean some folks do not have to speak that much outside their initial brief personal intro story about what concerns brought them to the meeting. As the leader, you want to acknowledge and appreciate them for that. Having additional people in the meeting whose role is looking pleasant and affirming their interest is important. So even if they don't say much, as lead, it's key to help value them for being present. In fact, a few of our Senate meetings have experimented with supportive observers where a lot of CCL volunteers can support the lobby team by being present on Zoom with camera on and muted. Also, you may run into a situation where only minutes ahead of the meeting, one of your team members texts you to pass on they are going to be late. Coming in late has the chance to significantly disrupt the meeting. As a result, you should be clear with your team ahead of time that the only time you want a team member trying to join a meeting already in progress is if they're the only constituent. Otherwise, politely let your group know that coming in late will disrupt the meeting and you will fill them on the meeting afterwards. For Zoom meetings, I recommend locking the room after the staff and member of Congress have arrived. The final situation to review for meetings is when a volunteer or another unplanned attendee shows up for an online meeting that they're not scheduled in. This can be avoided in the worst case scenario by locking the room after the member of Congress and staff have arrived. If this happens to you, we fully empower your team to make the swift decision to have your tech person or any other co-host immediately remove them before dialogue can happen that distracts from the meeting. Given how much time and coordination has been put into the scheduling and planning process, it's key that your group feels empowered to do whatever it takes to keep your meeting focused and on track with only those attendees who are planning on having join in with the meeting plan. For most online meeting platforms, you can set up a waiting room or an equivalent feature to allow anyone after the meeting starts to be held in the lobby and need permission ahead of joining the actual meeting discussion. From there, you can remove them without interrupting anyone or privately chat them a question if you are expecting someone and need to confirm who they are. Or let's talk about what you should do immediately following the meeting. In almost lobby meetings, all lobby meetings this year, you will have time in between meetings to debrief, as most CCLs should be in one or two meetings at most. As lead, you should plan on setting up a separate Zoom meeting ID for your team to go to brief right after the meeting, or a separate time that all team members can make. Make sure to communicate this out ahead of time. A debrief is a short examination of the meeting. And here's what a debrief could look like. The meeting leader could begin by talking about what went well and take the opportunity to nurture team members. You could ask the note taker to read the notes back. You could look back at the back of the meeting minutes form and find the section titled Important Things to Capture. If there's something missing, you can capture it. As the leader, you should verify the plan for follow-up items. Note who's going to do the follow-up, who will file the meeting minutes online, and how your team will make sure to thank the office. And on Community, you can actually find thank you cards.
So we have transitioned in the last year to no longer having a separate meeting minute form. We are actually using the same action tracker that we use for everything else for your lobby meeting minutes. And I'll also put a link here in the chat where you can ask Amy any questions you might have. So let's just kind of briefly review how to actually go in that link I just put in the chat to log your minutes, right? So basically at this point, we want to make sure that everything that John just reviewed is captured in our overall effort to really understand where Congress is at the moment on ambitious climate policy. And so that note taker role that we reviewed earlier is absolutely key to being the person assigned to capture the details and then submitting the team's collective impression via that action tracker form online. So a couple things to keep in mind, and you can reassure everyone else on this front. The notes are confidential. They're not meant to be shared with anyone outside of the team after being submitted, as well as your regional coordinator. It's essential to keep in mind that we're in the relationship building business. And so any breach of those notes could really ruin that trust of confidence that we've built up throughout the years with the office. And they're also really important documents that help us build momentum. As you've read through the prior meeting minutes to really prepare for the meeting, think about, again, passing that forward in the next leapfrog session to understand and remind the next meeting prep, whether it's you or your larger team, on what the actual agreements were that you spoke to that you're going to be bringing back to continue that dialogue with the office. So making sure to review those notes ahead of time with your note taker is going to help make sure everything is caught. And a reminder of what's included on that form. We've got a great link where you can take notes, but you're also welcome to do that and then just submit them later. You want to capture the legislative staff that was present, anyone else that was present, whether they were constituents, whether they're community leaders, any of their backgrounds, names, and affiliations. Overall, the notes should really focus more on the legislator or the staffer's concerns and comments and reading their body language, rather than talking only about what we spoke about. We're most interested in what their reactions were. So the notes really should capture also the percentage of time that each parties were talking. We're shooting for a 50-50 split between the member of Congress's office and our volunteers so that we're not just talking them up and down, but we're actually listening an equivalent amount of time. We want to capture how many open-ended questions that we've been practicing to really include those to open up the dialogue and include whether or not we are asking about anything else that we can do to further the district in supporting carbon pricing policy, as well as supporting or following up with tasks that we said we'd take on after the meeting. So that's the overall review of the meeting minutes process. And to take us home tonight, before we go to Q&A, I actually would love to have our wonderful Senior Director of Government Affairs, Ben Pendergrass, remind us about how powerful we are. So in just a little bit, Ben is just going to speak to the legacy and the impact that CCL really already has as reputation on the Hill, to make sure that you are walking in and feeling grounded in being aware of the legacy that you are also a part of now as a CCL volunteer lead. Before I pass it to Ben, we just had two quick pieces of advice to really ground you and your team in the confidence that you're here to help them as your member and their office staff address their concerns on climate. Number one, keep practicing using open-ended questions throughout that meeting, like we've talked about through tonight, to get at those underlying factors to help you connect and deepen that relationship, moving them forward towards more ambitious climate action. And number two, before you leave, make sure that you are clear on what you are walking out with for specific actions and next steps. What are your follow-ups? What are the things that you can be doing after that meeting to continue to drive the relationship forward and continue to drive your community and your district towards ambitious climate action? All right, the floor is yours, Ben.
But a lot of times now when members want to introduce bills around climate, the first call is to CCL. They really want CCL support. They know that CCL can make stuff happen, that the volunteers are out there meeting with folks and developing these relationships. And we have become a sought after resource. I mean, I think a good antidote that besides we're getting inundated by a lot of requests. It's keeping the DC staff very, very busy. But like a good instance, it hasn't happened yet, but just as a, the way they're thinking, Debbie Stabenow's staff was talking to a reporter, a reporter was talking to Debbie Stabenow herself for a piece they're doing on the Growing Climate Solutions Act that may appear sometime. And when Chris asked, well, who should we talk to about this? Who would you direct us to? And they're like, go talk to CCL. That's who you should talk to. They also said Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but I would still say like the fact that the first name they came up with is they need to talk to us just shows how things are going, developing, and it's going far beyond just carbon pricing. Everybody knows about carbon pricing, but now they're thinking about CCL when it comes to anything climate related.
You've got John's email, my email, and our forums. All of them are available. But obviously we know that after tonight, you're going to be doing a lot of good work. So if there's ways that we can support you, John and I have been there. We definitely know the challenges that you're juggling, and we'd love to support you however we can preparing for your meetings. John, any words of wisdom you want to close with?
Above all, your work as a meeting lead is to create a sense of connection among the members of your team and between your team and your member of Congress and their staff. And Brené Brown defines connection this way. Connection is the energy that exists between people when they feel seen, heard, and valued, when they give and receive without judgment, and when they derive sustenance and strength from the relationship. So good luck to all of you as you work on creating connection between the members of your team, between the members of your team and members of Congress. So thank you all.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.